Do you want to be blessed? Do you ever look at the blessings that others receive? Health, wealth, house, car, kind of clothes they get to wear, various and sundry relationships they have, the job that they got, the promotion that they got. Do you ever look at those blessings and say, man, I wish I could have that? Sometimes looking with a little bit of envy at others. I think it's natural for us to want to be blessed. It's natural for us to want God's blessing. The problem is that sometimes we have a tendency to look around, or if you're like me, have a tendency to look around and think about how lucky everyone else is and how unlucky we are. And when you consider that, I'd like for you to think about Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. Because that's exactly what's happening in this passage. We read it moments ago, but let's read it again. In Luke 11, verse 27 through 28, as he said these things, this is Jesus teaching. He's been teaching. He's been performing miracles. And now there's a crowd listening to him offer wisdom. And she interrupts. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Blessing. Here was a woman that wanted blessing. She saw someone else as blessed. You know, the interesting thing here is that when this woman is speaking, it sounds like she's talking about Mary. But I think the reality is that she's really trying to say something about herself. It sounds like she's saying, "Oh, Mary is blessed." But the reality is, what she's really saying is, "I'm not. Boy, how lucky it must have been for some woman to have you as her son, Jesus. She was just lucky. She was blessed." It's not recorded, but she might have wanted to add on to this, "Boy, if you just saw the bum of a son I had, you'd know how blessed the womb that bore you." That's the point that she's making. "Oh, your mother was so fortunate. Not like the rest of us." But Jesus corrects her. And he says, "No, that's not the blessing. That's not the greatest blessing. No doubt Mary was blessed. But the greatest blessing," he says, "is for those who hear the word of God and keep it." I'd like for us to spend a few moments tonight just kind of deconstructing and unpacking this very brief scenario. Because I know that we want to be blessed. And so I'd like for us to learn how to get blessed. Before we look at this, would you bow with me in prayer, please? Almighty God and Father in heaven, you are the great ruler of the universe, sovereign God. We love you. We praise you. You are the author of every blessing. And we're thankful for the blessing we get to have tonight, to be here together again with our brothers and sisters to hear your word. And we pray that we will take this blessing and that we'll take it with us and that it'll impact our lives, that we might continue in your blessing. Father, we praise your name and thank you for this opportunity tonight. And we pray that what happens here is about your glory and not ours. About your glory and not mine as the one who's presenting this lesson. That you will be lifted up and magnified. And that we will take this blessing with us. We love you, Father. We thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Here in Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, we see this woman declaring that she wants a blessing. But as we see her statement, I think we recognize the tendencies that we often have. Our tendencies. There are four tendencies that we often have when it comes to this idea of blessing. When she says, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." The very first tendency is we tend to envy others' blessings. We tend to envy the blessings that others have. That's what's happening here. She's considering how amazing it would have been to have been the mother of Jesus. This one who had done so many works, who had so many great teachings, who was so wise and so wonderful. Oh, wouldn't it just be so wonderful to have been his mother instead of the mother of the children that I got? That's the issue here. She's envying his blessing. How often do we do that? And we look around at what others have and we think about, oh, if only I could have that blessing. If only I could have that. In fact, this demonstrates the second tendency that we often have, and that is that we tend to fixate on the blessings we have not received. Rather than noting the blessings that we do have, rather than recognizing what a wonderful blessing it is to get to breathe in and out every minute of every day, as we have so far throughout our lives, we spend our time thinking about the fact that somebody else got that car we wanted, and somebody else is living in the kind of house that we want, and somebody else got the job promotion that we want, and somebody else is doing better financially than we're doing, or somebody else has better health than we have. We tend to spend our time fixating, rather than on the blessings we have received, on the blessings that we have not received. Further, we recognize from what this woman says, I just want you to think about this. Isn't this really an odd way to say this? She doesn't just say, blessed is your mother, but blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed. That's just an odd way to say that, an odd way to declare it. I'll tell you what's being demonstrated here is our tendency to think that blessing has to be a matter of being lucky. Those of you who have born children, did you get a choice in which children that you bore? No, you just bore the children that were given to you. Blessed is the womb that bore you. She's having this idea that there was really nothing about Mary that caused this. It's just the natural process. It's just kind of the luck of the draw that she got to be lucky enough that her womb bore you. Isn't that how we often look at blessings? Folks who are around us, they just got the luck of the draw. They won the lottery of life. We have a tendency to think that blessing is a matter of being lucky. And that leads us to our fourth tendency. And that is we have a tendency to think we're unlucky. We have a tendency to think that we're just unlucky. The reason they get to live in that house, or the reason they have that blessing, or the reason that they're doing better here, is because they're just lucky. Because they won the lottery of life. They're doing better spiritually because they're just lucky. They're doing better physically because they're just lucky. All of those things. These are the tendencies that we have. And these are the tendencies that this woman is displaying as she cries out that Mary is blessed. But one of the things I finally realized, and it was a long time before I realized this, that Jesus' statement when he follows up is not merely a statement about the word of God and keeping it. It's actually a corrective statement. Jesus is correcting this woman. She demonstrates these tendencies to envy, these tendencies to fixate on the blessing that she doesn't have, the tendency to think that it's a matter of luck, and the tendency to think that we're just unlucky. And instead, he gives this response. And what he says in verse 28 is, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And there are three corrective ideas that are demonstrated by Jesus' response to this woman. The first thing is, you can be blessed. Think about it. This woman is saying, blessed is your mother. Not everybody gets to be the mother of Jesus. In fact, of all the women throughout all of history, how many of them got to be the mother of Jesus? Only one. There's only one person that got that blessing, and in fact, it was a wonderful blessing. There's no doubt it is truly a blessing for Mary to have been the mother of Jesus. And so, because only one woman in all of history could have that blessing, there might be that tendency to think that, well, I just can't be blessed. But Jesus' response to this woman is, no, no, it's not just my mother who was blessed in the past. You can be blessed. You can be blessed right now. You can hear the word of God, and you can keep it. That's the thing that we need to understand. It's not about luck. It's not about luck of the draw. It's not about some people get to be lucky and some of us aren't. You can be blessed. Every single one of us can be blessed. But if we want to be blessed, we got to work for it. Blessed are those who hear the word and keep it. He says to her, no, my mom was not just luckier than you. My mom was not the person who's blessed, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can be blessed, but you have to work at it. You've got to spend some time in the Word of God. You've got to spend some time doing the things that God says. You can be blessed, but you have to work at it. Why? Because those who obey God are blessed. Blessing is for those who obey God. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to talk about some health and wealth gospel that says that if you're a faithful Christian, everything's going to go your way. It's all going to turn up roses. You'll be rolling around in a tub of butter and you're going to live in the house on the hill, drive a Cadillac. I'm not saying that. The reality is we understand that what is demonstrated by this is that there are some amazing spiritual blessings that come from being in Christ Jesus. But I tell you what, I do believe that when you hear God's word and you keep it, your life is going to be better. When you do what God says about how to relate to other people, you're going to have better relationships. When you do what God says about doing your work with excellence, not with neglect and excuses trying to get out of work, you're going to get promoted at work and your work's going to get better. When you do what God says about how to handle your finances are going to be better. These are all general truths, and yet we understand there are exceptions to these. Job stands out as an exception. A man who was faithful to God, who did his will, who kept his word, and yet struggles happened. He lost everything, lost his kids. His wife betrayed him essentially. Lost all those possessions. And yet, of course, we know in the end, he received blessing again. But we understand that we're talking about generalities, not necessarily specific absolutes. I do believe that. But we're not talking about the health and wealth idea that everybody in Christ gets to be a millionaire. That's just not the way it is. But we do need to grasp this. What Jesus says to this woman who thinks it has to do with luck and that she just missed out on the lottery of life, what he says is, no, you can be blessed, but you got to work for it. Because only those who obey God get the true blessing. Well, recognizing this, there are some things that we need to learn. What are some lessons for us when we consider what happens here in Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28? I want us to note three things we need to quit and three things we need to start from what this passage. Three things when we consider what's happening here, three things we need to quit and three things we need to start. The very first thing we need to quit is waiting for our lucky break. Quit waiting for your lucky break. That's not what's happening. Mary didn't just receive some lucky break. Certainly some people, it looks like they received lucky breaks, but you just need to quit waiting on your lucky break. Too many people are just sitting around hoping that one day God will decide, no matter what I do, to drop some type of boon, some type of gift, some type of break in my lap, and then everything will be better. Well, that's just not the way it works most of the time. Quit waiting for your lucky break. Let's think about Mary's lucky break. Look back in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. O favored one, you found favor with the Lord." In fact, he goes on and says, she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." This is reminiscent of Noah, who found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Certainly this is grace. Mary hadn't earned this. Nobody could earn this. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How would this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Now this is the verse I want you to really notice. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Certainly, Mary receives grace in this blessing. Certainly Mary had not earned this. But I want you to recognize that this was not just some lucky break. God had not put all the names of all the women in the world in a magic ball that he ran around and then stuck his hand in and pulled out Mary's name. God knew exactly who he was choosing. He was choosing the kind of woman who, despite the fact that she couldn't understand how this could possibly happen, despite the fact that she could not feel worthy of allowing it to happen, would respond to him, "I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your word." That's the kind of woman Mary was. This wasn't a lucky break. This was because Mary was the kind of woman that heeded God's word. And so God blessed her. Quit waiting around for your lucky break. Number two, quit comparing yourself to others. Quit comparing yourself to others. God has never promised to give everybody the same amount of blessing in any aspect of our lives, whether financial, material, health, emotional, spiritual. He's never promised to give us all the exact same kind of blessings. And so we need to quit worrying about comparing what different kinds of blessings everyone else has. God, in His wisdom, blesses His children the way He sees fit in order to accomplish His glory. And instead of spending our time comparing ourselves with others, we need to take the blessings God has given us and use them to bring honor and glory to Him. Stop comparing yourselves to others. Think about John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, Peter denied the Lord three times while the Lord was on trial. Jesus died, was buried, was resurrected, appeared to the apostles. He came to Peter, and it's a wonderful picture of the reconciliation as Jesus talks to Peter about, "Do you love me?" And he asks him three times, one time for each of the denials. And when it's done, he gives Peter a wonderful message. "You're actually going to keep that promise that you gave me. You said you would die for me. One day you're actually going to be strong enough to do that." But Peter, as he's listening to all of this, instead of just being able to say, "Thank you, Lord, thank you, I'll work with you, I'll feed your sheep, thank you for letting me be a part of this," he looks around. And in John 21 and verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. Traditionally, we believe that's John. He turned to see the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, and the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that's going to betray you?" And when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man? What about him? What's going to happen to him? What's his life going to be like? What kind of blessings is he going to receive?" Peter can't just take the blessing that God is offering him. He's got to look around and compare. But what's Jesus' response to him? "If it's my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." If God chose someone from our number and said, "You're going to live until the end of time," and here we all were growing old, our bodies are falling apart, they're getting wrinkly and saggy and weak, we're going in and out of the hospital, but there's Todd being healthy for the rest of, he still looks just as young as he's always looked. We've known him for 60 years and he still looks like a 20-year-old, and we've gotten old. But that would be a blessing for him. You might be envious. You might be a little jealous. What Jesus says about that is, "If I've decided to let him stay till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Jesus' point is, quit comparing yourself to others. God gives his blessings as God sees fit, and he is the wise blessing giver. Trust him. Stop comparing ourselves to others. And if we want to get blessed, we need to quit grumbling and complaining. We need to quit grumbling and whining. No, God is not going to give us everything that he gives everyone else. He's not promised us every blessing in the possible world. And so we need to quit grumbling and whining about the blessings that we have not received. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. I'm not sure that this woman recognized that what she was doing here as she cried this out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." We've got some complaining going on here. Why did she get that and I didn't? What we need to quit doing is complaining. God has blessed us, and we need to focus on that. And so three things that we need to start. We need to quit. We need to quit waiting for our lucky break. We need to quit comparing ourselves to others. And we need to quit complaining and whining. Three things that we need to start if we're going to be blessed. The very first thing that we need to start is we need to start seeing the blessing in the present moment. Think about what's happening here. Jesus is teaching. How many of you would love the blessing of actually sitting at the feet of Jesus, the Son of God, breaking unto people the word of life? Wouldn't that be just absolutely amazing? She was getting to experience that. How many of you would like to have seen Jesus cast out a demon, heal the sick? She got to see that. But instead of focusing on this amazing blessing of seeing the miraculous work of God through Jesus Christ, instead of focusing on the amazing blessing of hearing Jesus teach this wonderful news, she was so fixated on some blessing in the past that somebody else received that she interrupted the blessing she's receiving right now to make this claim. You see that? She's missing out. She's interrupting the blessing that she's receiving because she's so fixated on the blessing that she didn't receive. What did she need to do? She needed to recognize the blessing that was going on here right now. She's hearing the word of God right now. She's being given the words of life. And if she'll just take that with her and do those things, she'll be blessed beyond imagination and beyond belief. But she's too fixated on the blessing she didn't get. We need to start recognizing the blessing in the present moment. I'll tell you three things about that. Number one, we need to recognize that God does in fact want to bless us. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Our Father in heaven wants to bless us. We need to remember that. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, we see a second point here. It talks about us being sons of our Father who is in heaven. "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Everybody here this morning, did the sun come up for you? I know it did. The rain that has fallen and caused the food to grow, we're all getting to enjoy that and experience that. Do you recognize that what Jesus is pointing out here is the blessing that we actually are experiencing? Oh, sure, there are some things that God is not doing for us. But take a look at the things that God is doing for us. We need to recognize that God wants to bless us, and we need to recognize that God is blessing us. He has blessed us. He's blessed us physically. Every single person that's here was able to, in some way, get here. What a blessing. What a blessing. Most of us, we were able to get here because we were able to get up and walk on our own two legs. What a blessing. Every single one of us are here because we're breathing in and out. What a blessing. How amazing that is. Everybody have a good lunch today? Most people, good lunch, maybe? I don't know. Some of you, I'm seeing some heads nod here. Kind of worried about responding to that question. Yeah, we had a great lunch today. Most of us did. What a blessing. But there's not only those material and physical blessings. There's the spiritual blessings. Do we get so sidetracked because something is not happening in our lives that we forget about the blessing that we discussed in this morning's lesson? That Jesus came to the world to live among us, and he died among us, and he arose for our justification. What a blessing. And we'll turn our backs on that because God has decided not to bless us with the house we wanted to live in? How silly is that? We need to recognize the present blessing that God has already blessed us with. And thirdly, we need to remember what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, we need to remember that even in the midst of times when things aren't going exactly the way we want them to, God has a plan that is working out for our ultimate blessing. And when we're his, he's getting us to that eternal home. We may not live in the house on the hill here in this life, but in eternity, we live in God's house. Isn't that wonderful? What a blessing. God's working on that for you if you're in Christ right now. We need to recognize the blessing, the present blessing that is going on, and not interrupt the blessing that we are experiencing to complain about the blessing that we're not. The second thing we need to start is just what Jesus said. We need to start studying God's word. Jesus said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God. We need to be spending some time in the word of God. God has given us this phenomenal, life-giving, amazing blessing. He says, blessed are those who hear this. And far too often, this is the thing that we kind of dust off and pull out when it's time to go to church. You want blessing? I'll tell you how to get blessed. Get in God's word. Quit trying to get blessing all the way over here. Start by getting into this. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Paul, talking to the Ephesian elders, said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. This is where we need to start. This is where blessing begins, being in God's word. Constantly, continually, habitually, without stopping. Oh, it would have been a lucky break to have been the mother of Jesus. But you don't have to wait for your lucky break. Oh, it would have been a wonderful thing to actually get to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him teach. But we don't have to wait for that. We've got his word. We can get in it. We can study it. And we can apply it to our lives, which is the third thing. How do you get blessed? Start working. How do you get blessed? Be in God's word and do what it says. That's not always easy, but it is just that simple. No, I'm not trying to promise you the sky here. You might not get every blessing it is that you ever hoped that you might have when it comes to the material things of this life. Again, God decides how he hands out those gifts and blessings. But if you want to be blessed, what Jesus says is, hear his word and keep it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. We need to be somebody who is working based upon the word of truth that we have read. We need to take what we read in these pages and apply it to how we live at home, and we'll find blessing there. We need to take what we read in these pages and apply it to how we live at school, and we'll find blessing there. We need to take what we read in these pages and apply it to how we work on our job, and we'll find blessing there. We need to take what we read in these pages and apply it to how we live all our life, and guess what? We'll find blessing there. It'll happen. And in the end, we'll stand before God in judgment, and we'll find blessing there. How do you get blessed? Quit waiting around. Quit waiting around for a lucky break. Quit complaining about others. Quit comparing yourself to others. Instead, recognize the blessing of God going on right now and get in his word and do what he says. And when we do that, you'll get blessed. I guarantee it. How are you doing at that? If you're going to be using your songbook tonight, would you pull that out now, please? Sing to me of heaven. Is that correct, Austin? Okay. Sing to me of heaven. If you're going to be using the songbook, that's in number 716. Sing to me of heaven. Heaven. What a blessing. Can you imagine a greater blessing than heaven? God sent his son to die to give you that blessing. If that does not convince you that God wants to bless you more than anything else, I don't know what would. He wants you blessed. No, He may not give us every single thing in the world that we want. But He sent His Son to die to give you everything in eternity that you need. Can we praise the Lord for that? But it's for those who have heard His word and keep it. It's for those who are in Christ. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Do you want to be blessed? Why not just hear what Jesus said and keep it? If we can help you keep it tonight, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing?